James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. He says, what does it profit you? What does it profit my brethren? Though a man says he had faith and had not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, if he had not works, it is dead, being alone. Even so, faith, if it doesn't have work, is what? Dead. A lot of people take this passage out of context. This passage relates just to this situation. It relates to a situation whereby you have the means to assist somebody else out of their needs. Because you have the need, you would not need to tell somebody, God bless you. Oh, I pray that you get warm. I pray you have food. I pray you get help. When you yourself can provide what? The help. When somebody has a need and you can meet the need, arise and meet the need. Amen? You don't just say, God bless you. Maybe you don't like how tall they are or how short they are. Or you don't like the color of their hair. You don't want to give. No. When you exercise faith, you must match it with corresponding action. Amen? Your faith must match your action. That is crucial. Your faith must what? Match your action. If somebody has a need and you have the capacity to meet that need, you should arise from your resources and meet that need. Don't send that person away without meeting that need. That's what James is talking about here. Is that clear to us? So, certainly, faith must have action to it. Faith must do what? Have action to it. Faith must have what? Action to it. Faith is alive. Faith is not dead. Corresponding action must match your faith. Your faith must match your corresponding action. For example, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You have prayed to God to give you some money or give you a breakthrough. And then you write a check for $2,000 to meet that need. But the money hasn't come. You now take that check and pay your creditor or your debtor or whoever. And you are not sure when that money will come. Is that faith or what? Is that faith or what? That is presumption. Is that clear? Your faith must match your action. It is true you have a need. You pray to God and expect it to come. The most you can do is to write that check and put it in your drawer and trust God that will provide the money. Amen? If you put that check in the account, you pay, the police will, you know the story. So our action must match our faith. Amen? Our action must what? Match our faith. You must know the level of your faith. You must know the gravity. You must know the extent of your faith. You must know your spiritual strength. You must know how far you have grown. Don't act outside the limit of your faith so that you will not be hurt. Amen? A lot of people have been burnt. For example, they prayed for you. Instead of continuing your medication because you're ill, you just throw it in the garbage. And tomorrow you can't get up to go to work. The doctors can cure you, only Jesus can heal. Amen? The Bible says, we will lay hands on the sick. What will happen? They will recover. So when you are prayed for, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw your medicine away. You trust God gradually that the spirit of the healing of God will win you out of that medicine. Amen? But some of us get to that certain level. You get to a certain level, illness is coming. I say, no, I don't want it. Mama, pray for me. Boom. Mama will say, go to the doctor. I say, forget it. I know you have to know the level of your faith. Is that clear? Before you act. Faith needs common sense. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that your faith will not be burnt. Very, very important. Hallelujah. Faith corresponding action. We must not be foolish, but people do foolish things for lack of what? Knowledge. The pastor says you hang your leg on the wall, and when you wake up, there'll be $3,000 under your car. You just do it. You didn't check what verse in the Bible. You didn't challenge the pastor. You didn't say this looks spooky. You just did it. And you are there all night. You go in the following morning, you go there. All you find under your car is the garbage that the wind blew. That's a good guy. So corresponding action. Many people operate on a higher level of faith. When God speaks to them, to the level of their faith, they act and they get expected results. So if you are not satisfied with your faith, you can step it up. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God, your faith is strengthened. And then your faith grows. Then if you want to consolidate your faith, you meditate on the word of God. The word of God that you meditate on will further strengthen, make your faith to be what? A pillar. God's a good God. God's a good God. So you must use some common sense with the application of faith confession. When you confess the word of God, you must have a persuasion inside of you that the word of God you are speaking forth, that you, your thoughts and that word are the same. Did you catch it? Some people confess the word of God in their head. The presumption. Oh, God said he's going to do it. Don't worry, God is going to do it. Who told you? You got to fight for it. Amen? You got to keep confessing, standing on the word. Standing on the word. Even though the situation looks negative and impossible. But we know that our God is a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. Not within God, within you. Is this clear? And what is this power? The word of God and the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's a good guy. So it is important that your faith must match your action. It must be corresponding. Amen? Don't have little faith with oversized action. Did you hear me? If your faith is size 6, don't go and carry an action of size 12. If your faith is size 6, then act in size 6. Is this clear to us? God's a good guy. If your faith is size 6 and there's something that needs size 4, it's a breeze for you. Is that not so? You can always step up your faith. Your faith must always correspond with your action. Very important. Tell your neighbor, say very important. Say very important. Say very important. Very important. Say very important. Very important. Okay. Just listen to this. You must use common sense. I stress this. With the application of faith and confession, when you are not developed to that level, do whatever is necessary to get the situation under control, especially when life is at stake. I have heard of some people who their child was sick and they believe in divine healing, and the child grows sicker and they pray more and the child gets sicker and died. You get what I'm saying? Come on, baby. Thank God there's no Jehovah's Witness here. If they say you need blood transfusion, let them transfuse it. Amen? That's a good girl. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. So, when you tune your faith, it should be able to please God, not to make noise in the ears of God. Are we catching this? Did we catch that? I have been involved in, maybe my faith is 10, I acted on 100, and it backfired. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, and not what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. The word of God will always expose you to you. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, 12 to 13, that all things are subject to the word of God. All things are what? Subject to the word. The word of God, you can't hide from it. When the word of God reaches your heart, it will set you out. So when the word of God locates you, it's your responsibility to upgrade your faith or respond accordingly. Amen? That's a good girl. Do not be only hearers. Be doers. Be doers of the word. Just listen to what I'm sharing with you now. A hearer of the word is like a man who looked into the word and said, "Thank God I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am also delivered from the authorities of darkness. And I have word-walking faith residing inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than they that are in the world. Whatever I bind on earth can be bound in heaven." But when situation happens, the person forgets. Then he forgets all the word of God that has come in. He throws away his authority and he begins to shake. See, that person has not mixed the word of God with faith. Like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, when we receive the word of God, we should mix it with faith. In other words, trust that word, that what it says it is, that is what it is. Amen? So when the word of God comes into you, receive it positively, mix it with faith. Trust that God and his word are the same and can never fail. Hallelujah. When you do that and you keep doing it and meditating on the word of God and feeding, your inner man, your soul, become rooted and grounded in the word of God. So when challenges face you, the Holy Spirit will bring those words from inside of you and speak it through your mouth. And bring it into your heart and you speak it through your mouth against that situation. That's what we call rhema. Against that situation, and what is left for you is positive results. But if the word of God is not in you, you read the word of God and it doesn't make sense to you. When situation happens, what do? You call X, you call Y, you pray, tongues, you pray, and it doesn't work, doubt comes in. And before you know it, you are a good candidate for the devil to distract. So the word of God must dwell in us. It is not a big deal to believe. The devil also believes and what? Trembles. But what you do with what you believe is what makes the difference between you and any other person. Amen? If I give you food to eat, do you believe it's going to do you good? But if I put the food there and you didn't eat it, what you believe, did it do you any good? Praise the Lord. James chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Just look at that. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil does also believe and trembles. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Abraham wasn't justified because he believed. Abraham was justified because he acted on what he believed. Do we understand that? James chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. James chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without work is what? Dead. Rahab was an international prostitute. And she recognized the man. She linked the messages, the story she has heard, with this man. And they struck a deal. He believed it. And they gave him a red cord to tie on his window. And they advised her to bring all his families in. And when destruction was going on, God spared the family of Rahab. Is that clear? God's a good God. Just like we have faith in the Word of God. There's also what we call natural faith. By natural faith, you are sitting down on that chair now. You didn't ask the chair if it would collapse before you sat on it. You just sat down. We just assumed. That's natural faith. But the faith of God is not like that. It's something you receive by hearing and something you nourish by hearing. Amen? Natural faith can please you, but natural faith cannot please God. Only faith resulting from the Word of God Himself that can please God. Amen? God's a good God. God is a good God. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, 26 and 27. 26 to 28. Let me open to that. God is a good God. We need to pray in line with the will of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 28. Sorry, let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, please. Mark chapter 2. I think I'm right at the first time. Mark chapter 4, bear with me. Mark 4, bear with me, please. Mark 4, I'm sorry, it's my bad. Mark 4, 26 to 28, let's go. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter what? Seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should what? Sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First, what? The blade. Then, the head. After that, what? Full grain in the head. Now, look at me. The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in you. Amen? The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed in the ground. Where is the ground of the kingdom of God? Your hearts. Amen? What is this seed that this farmer should cast? The word of God. Is this clear? You take in the word of God, you meditate on it, and you lay hands on somebody, you say, by stripes you have been healed. That person gets healed. Do you know how it happens inside? But you just believe it and you receive it. Same way, when a farmer takes a seed and plants it, that very seed on its own has all the capabilities, the DNA, to reproduce after itself. Amen? So when you plant the seed, the word of God in your soul, it will first of all produce what? The blade. Then what? The ears. And then the full corn. If it produces the blade and the ears, and you say it's now time, and you begin to harvest it, what are you doing? You are destroying your crop. So when we confess the word of God, when we sow the word of God in our soul, we must be patient for the word of God to mix with our faith. And we must be patient to hear from the Holy Ghost or perceive in our inner man that it is time for us to receive what we have confessed about. Amen? We don't run ahead of your confession. The Spirit of God will minister to you. Situation will dictate to you when it's going to be harvest time. But fortunately for a whole lot of Christians, when they pray, they forget about their prayers. A lot of people pray, they don't remember. So when the result comes, they can't really give glory to God the way it's supposed to be. Amen? When you confess the word of God, when you have sown the seed in your inner man, the ear, the blade, and the full corn, you must patiently, you must consciously wait for it to manifest. Amen? That's a good God. So this is a revelation of how the kingdom of God works within us. The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You are the one who sows the seed in the kingdom of God inside you. Amen? The word of God is not going to come from heaven. The word of God, as you receive it, you sow it, you mix it with faith, and it comes alive. Now, remember the human heart. I'm just going over this again. Your human heart is our spiritual soil. The word of God is a seed that has the capacity to produce after itself. The word of God carries the divine power to make miracle happen in your life. The word of God has in it the capability to create what it says it can. By his stripes you have been what? Healed. Whatever you bind on earth has the word bound in heaven. The word of God has the full spiritual capacity to fulfill what it says it can do. Amen? God's a good God. When you hear the word of God, Hebrew 4:2, mix it with faith. Trust that the word of God will turn out just like it says it would. Amen? Some people will say, why should I confess something? It looks like I'm lying. No, that's not a lie. The word of God is, we never fail. Amen? But our mind will fail. If you hold on long enough, what you have confessed will come to pass. Remember, the word of God is a seed. The word of God is what? Seed. And that seed has the ability to produce exactly what you have spoken forth. Never forget that. Never ever forget that. So let me give you the secret of faith. Number one, faith works like seed. The word of God must be in you to produce after what you're speaking forth. Amen? Then the way to plant the word of God is what says. Very important. So what you say must match up with your action. Faith without works is dead. In other words, I put it this way. Faith without corresponding work is what? Dead. Your faith must match your word, and your word must match your action to produce the expected results. Amen? Very important. Very, very important. The Bible says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be placed yonder, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. That's the book of Mark. Mark 11:23. Now, a lot of people focus on, if you have faith as a mustard seed, people focus on the size of the thing, the mustard seed, the faith Jesus is talking about here, is like the size of a mustard seed. They get it wrong. Listen, he said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, that means your faith is a seed. Jesus was comparing it to a mustard seed. Did you catch it? It does not say that your faith is a mustard seed. It says if you have faith like what? A mustard seed. A mustard seed has the capacity to grow and become a big tree. Did you catch this? Very important. A mustard seed faith. That's what people say. No, it's wrong. It says if you have faith like what? Like a mustard seed. It didn't say your faith must be mustard seed size. Like a mustard seed means a mustard seed has the capacity to grow and become a full-blown plant. That's how your faith has the capacity to grow and become full-blown to achieve whatever you request, you desire from God. Amen? Jesus was talking about the size of the seed. He's talking about faith as a seed. The life of the promise is in the word of God. The life of the promise is in the word of God. So the seed is the promise itself. The seed, the word of God, is our promise. And we know that the words of God can never what fail. So if we live in holiness and plant that seed, whatever it is you are trusting God for, and you hold on patiently, according to Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35 down, it says, after you have done the will of God, you have need of what? Patience. If we patiently wait for it to happen, then we'll be able to harvest. Hallelujah. So seed is important. The seed, you must plant your seed. You must plant your faith as a seed. You must grow your faith as what? A seed. Don't pour too much water. Don't allow too much heat. You must know exactly what to do. If you have sown a seed and you are trusting God for it to manifest, I'll be showing you what you'll be doing. Amen? That's a good girl. What I want to share with you today is, number one, your faith must match with your action. If your faith is size 6, your action should be what? size 6. If your faith is size 6, don't go up to size 6.5. It's not going to work. What will it create? Doubts. And once doubt comes in, your faith becomes bumped. You say, but the word of God says, but you didn't wait. You just planted it. You have the ear. What's the next one? You plant a seed. There are 3 stages according to Jesus. You have the ear. What's the next one? You have the blade. After the what? After then, what's next? So you don't harvest your crop when it's at the blade or when it's at the ear. You must wait for the full-blown grain. Even when the fruit is coming up, you wait for it to ripen before you can pluck it. Amen? Patience is crucial. Like I said in the first service, Jesus, before Jesus came to planet Earth, God was announcing it for 780 years. How many years? 780 years. It took God to announce the coming of his Son. God created the universe, everything, by his word, spoken word. He has faith in his word. So that's why, remember that you and I are made in the class of God. So when we feed on the word of God, we are able to speak into our situation to get what God would get if he were in your situation speaking exactly the same word. God's a good guy. Sometimes intelligent people don't have common sense. You can be smart intellectually. When it comes to applying faith, it's not the same thing. There's a difference between wisdom and intelligence. Amen? I know of a lot of intelligent PhDs who are fools. They can't manage their home. They can't manage their finances. You understand? What are some of our parents never went to school? They manage multi-million business. I wonder how they remember. I don't know. God's a good guy. God's a good guy. So in every day, feed your faith by the word of God. The bottom line is it takes time for things to develop. Don't try to harvest before what you planted is mature.